Good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship this ninth Sunday after Pentecost. This morning, it's our pleasure to welcome his servant preacher, Mrs. Rosemary Gray, to conduct this service. And may the blessing of the Holy Spirit be upon Rosemary and all present and to all those in our heartfelt thoughts. Following the service, refreshments will be served as usual. Three notices I'd like to announce. The first one was the pleasure we had yesterday to welcome back Gladys Askew, a member and friend of the church. She hosted the morning to celebrate her 88th birthday, which was really lovely. On Wednesday coming, it's Beans and Banter, to invite friends or anyone who may be living alone and feeling lonely to welcome them. Saturday is an especially happy occasion for Grace and Albie's wedding, and on behalf of this church family, I think we all wish them both a very happy future together. So we'll look forward to the wedding on Saturday, and I think they'd like most of us to come along if we can. So that's that, and now we shall have our prayer for today on the notice sheet, and that will be followed by our call to worship. Now is the time to worship. So I'll pray for today. God, thank you for your Spirit renewing and transforming us. Please continue to give us strength and courage to rest in you. Amen. Thank you.
Could I just ask, please, that you switch that off the screen at the moment? We're not quite ready for that yet. Can you switch the screen to blank? I'll tell you when we're ready for the psalm. Magic. Thank you so much. Well, good morning, everybody. It's lovely to be with you this morning, and welcome to worship here today. I was just saying to the stewards, it's nearly 2 years or more since I led worship here, which is quite incredible where the time's gone. So it's lovely to be amongst friends, but I gather also I'm amongst some new friends, people who've joined since that time. So welcome, and please talk to me afterwards and introduce yourselves. I'm from Pontylan Church, and I've been a preacher now for quite some time, but they just seem to have been using me in other places. So it's lovely to come back this morning and be with you again. We come before God in faith now, trusting that Jesus alone is our Father's Son and is our Redeemer. He gives us salvation. And we also come in hope that with the Holy Spirit, our hearts and our minds will be given the assurance that we have life in God, in his kingdom. And also we come in love. God loves each one of us, and that is just so wonderful. So our theme this morning is purity of the heart. Purity of the heart comes by faith, hope, and love. And as it says in 1 Corinthians, the greatest of these is love. So we're going to sing our opening hymn. We're using the books this morning. Sorry, it's not on the screen. Number 504. This hymn invites Jesus to come into our lives. We sing of our desire for the peace and love of God, which will fill our hearts and minds. It's May the Mind of Christ My Saviour. Right, well, it's lovely to have children with us this morning. You never quite know when you're a preacher whether you're going to get any. So welcome, Peter and David, to the service this morning. Oh yeah, I've got a little job for Peter. I think he'll manage it. I'll tell you about it shortly. But I'm just going to show you this first of all. Would you like one? Tell me what you think it is. You hold that for me, Peter. Good boy. Clever boy. So we'll have to help Peter a little bit because I don't think David's quite up to helping yet, is he? What do you think it is? Right, I'll show everybody else just so you can see what Peter's got. It's a heart, isn't it? It's a funny shape, really, for a heart. I don't think the heart actually looks like this inside your body. But we tend to use that shape as a heart shape, don't we? And that's what we're going to be talking about with the adults. So have you ever seen that heart shape on a card? And I wonder which kind of card it would be. When you send cards different times of the year, there's one a special time when you send cards with a heart on. What would that be? Valentine. I don't know if you've got a Valentine yet, my darling, but you will one day. So Valentine's Day, we send a heart on a card to the people that we particularly love. Usually a wife, a husband, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, which you will have one day, Peter. And that's a very important part of love, isn't it? To give love to the one we love the most. And then there's another card which comes along a little bit later in the year, just not far after that, when we like to express love in a slightly different way. It sometimes would have a heart on it, but what's the next card that comes up in the sort of calendar when we say something like, I love you? Easter, before Easter? Mother's Day. Come on to Easter in a minute. That's kind of the last bit of this talk. Mother's Day is the next kind of card we send. And on Mother's Day, you will be sending your lovely mummy a Mother's Day card. And what do we do then? We're wishing our mothers love, but it's a different kind of love, that, isn't it? It's not the same as Valentine's love. It's family love. It's thanking our mothers for all that they've done for us and all that they do for us as mothers. So it's about a second kind of love. And as you've already mentioned, the third kind of love, we talk about giving cards at Easter. Now, Easter cards are different. And it's a kind of love about Jesus and what Jesus did in dying on the cross, showing God's love to each one of us. So those are the three kinds of love that really are very different in our calendar. And I think they're all important in different ways. Romantic love, family love, and the love of God. So we cannot have really a happy life without perhaps those three kinds of love in our lives. Family love, parental love, and love of friends, and love of God. So I want Peter to help me, perhaps with his daddy now, to give one of these hearts to everybody. And I want you to either keep the heart and take it home, or if I give you some pencils, which is the other part of the operation, we will be writing on the hearts later on and bringing the people that we love. So it's about love today. The people that we love the most, we'll write their names. People that we are thinking about, perhaps in a way, who are sick or need our love in a different way. Whatever kind of love it is, we'll be writing something on these hearts later on in the service and using them as part of our prayers. So with a little bit of assistance, could somebody hand out a heart and a pencil along maybe one each line so that everybody gets a heart? Can you do that? You're too busy with David. Just make sure there's a few pencils around so people can write. Thank you. Some of you may prefer to draw a picture. I think we get Peter to draw a picture on his heart when he's in Sunday school later. Give everybody a heart now. Make sure. Yeah, you're going to be a preacher one day, my little lad. He's trying, aren't you? You're a good boy. It's lovely to see you. So we'll think about it for a while. You don't need to write on them just yet, unless somebody springs to mind that you immediately think, I want to pray for them. And if that's a person that's on your heart at the moment, somebody you love, somebody you're thinking of, please write it on whenever the thought comes into your head. Have you done it all, Peter? Can I have the basket back now? You make sure you have one. Oh, yes, there's one for Joy. One for Mummy, yes. Very important. And one for David, too. That's excellent. Which colour would you like? You draw me a picture on that when you go out, will you? Yes, I'll have that one. And you have the next one. One for Peter now. You keep that one and give me the basket. I'll have the basket now. Well, I think you've got plenty of hearts there, so he must have lots of love in his heart. Bless him. I'm grateful for you doing that. We'll have a little prayer now, and then if you go out to Sunday school with Joy and Mummy, write a picture, draw me a nice picture. There's some pencils down there. You just draw a picture of who you love. So let's pray. Loving God, we just come now into your presence to offer you our praise and our prayers. You are the all-powerful and ever-living God, most blessed, most holy. And we are not worthy to lift up our eyes to your glory. And yet, you are pleased to accept our worship this morning. Maker of this world, we thank and praise you for the whole of your creation. And we praise you for your presence in the world. Most gracious God, we proclaim that you are our Lord and Master over our lives. And we do indeed praise you with all of our hearts. We thank you for Jesus, who has redeemed us from our sins. And we are sorry that we fall short of your kingdom in so many ways. And we lay before you now our heartfelt prayers, seeking your forgiveness. Be with us now in our time of worship, as we rejoice in the knowledge that our sins are forgiven through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Okay. Do you think you might have something interesting for the boys to do? Draw in a heart. Lovely. Great to see them. Go and draw me a nice picture on your heart. Bless them. Thank you. Got it? Got the drink? Got everything you need? Wonderful. Oh, we have another little friend. Have you got a heart, darling? Sorry, I missed you. You were hiding at the back. Lovely to see you. Go and enjoy yourselves. So now, I've got no voice. So now we're ready to speak the psalm, which you had originally on the screen. Psalm 51, but in your books, it's number 811, but perhaps you don't need them, if you can get it back on the screen. What these... Okay, we'll turn to number 811 then. That's fine. I'll do the first bit, and then if you respond with the words in red, they're on the screen now, or in heavy black type, whichever you prefer. Psalm 51, verses 1 to 10. Actually, it says 1 to 11 in here. Have mercy on me, O God, in your great goodness. Wash away all my iniquity,
and cleanse me from my sin.
For I know my transgressions,
and my sin is always before me.
Against you only have I sinned. So you are right in your verdict.
And justified when you judge.
Surely I was sinful at birth.
Sinful from the time my mother conceived me.
Yet you desired faithfulness, even in the womb.
You taught me wisdom and secret grace.
Cleanse me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Let me hear joy and gladness.
Let the bones you have crushed rejoice.
Hide your face from my sins.
And blot out all my iniquity.
Create in me a pure heart, O God.
And renew a steadfast spirit within me.
Amen. And now we come to our first reading. This is from Deuteronomy in the Old Testament. This is the word of God spoken through Moses to the Hebrews. And he still speaks to us today of the promise of God, which he gives us in a fresh beginning when we turn our hearts to him. And June is going to read it for us. Thank you.
I have now given you a choice between a blessing and a curse. When all these things have happened to you, and you are living among the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you, you will remember the choice I gave you. If you and your descendants will turn back to the Lord, and with all your heart obey his commands that I am giving you today, then the Lord your God will have mercy on you. He will bring you back from the nations where he has scattered you, and he will make you prosperous again. Even if you are scattered to the farthest corners of the earth, the Lord your God will gather you together and bring you back, so that you may again take possession of the land where your ancestors once lived. And he will make you more prosperous and more numerous than your ancestors ever were. The Lord your God will give you and your descendants obedient hearts, so that you will love him with all your heart, and you will continue to live in that land. Amen.
Thank you, June. And so we're going to sing again. Our next hymn, number 370, we sing of the desire to be renewed as we turn our hearts to God. Number 370, Breathe on Me, Breath of God. And now as we respond to God's love, let's bring our offertory to him now. Let us pray now. Loving God, as we bring you these our gifts this morning, grant that they will be used in the service of your kingdom. We also bring you our whole lives and pray that you will use each one of us to love and to serve your kingdom here in this place. Through Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. So now we come to our second reading, which is from the Gospel of Mark. Jesus is using the ritual of hand washing, a ceremony that the Jewish leaders used. And he's using that ceremony to teach something about hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is stemmed from a Greek word, those of you who know Greek, Hypocrites, apparently. And that meant that their whole life was like acting. It was a part and it didn't have any sincerity in it. And we'll be hearing about that message later. Leonora's going to read for us. Thank you.
Thank you. Mark chapter 7, reading verses 1 to 8. And the portion is entitled Clean and Unclean. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were unclean, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law ask Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with unclean hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men.' You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
You can see me a bit better up here. So first of all, what does it mean to purify the heart? Well, that reading from Mark helps to show us what Jesus was teaching. So thank you, Leonora, for reading that. But what is involved today for us in purifying the heart? Well, we all spend a lot of time washing ourselves, don't we? I think my husband, Steve, bless him, he used to always complain, "I spent far too long in the shower." And I wonder if we spend so much time cleansing our inner souls as we do our outer bodies. I think, strangely enough, I do actually spend quite a bit of my prayer time in the shower. It's the quietest place. And it's where I'm alone with God. And surprisingly enough, God puts messages into my brain at that time. I don't know if you've done that, but it certainly works. You should try it sometime. So in our reading from Mark, Jesus took the opportunity of challenging the Pharisees on the hand-washing ceremony. And he was teaching about inner purity of the heart and the dangers of thinking that we're acceptable to God when they worship God for the wrong reasons. They were not motivated by love. They just wanted to appear to be holy and to increase their own status and power. So Jesus knew his Bible, and he quoted from Isaiah, reminding them that the prophet had accused the people of the day of honoring God with their lips while their hearts were far away. He was accusing them of hypocrisy, which is what I mentioned before. Being a follower of Christ is not merely a ritual. The disciples did, of course, wash their hands. They hadn't got dirty hands when they started eating. But that was a simple act. It was not the big ritual that the Jews made up of hand washing in a very specific and rule-driven way. Still today, I think it is true that we can go through all the traditional ritualistic motions, attending church rather mindlessly, when truly it's not any of these outward signs, physical signs, that put us into that real relationship that we have personally with our God. I've got something to show you here. I want to talk to you about our groceries. Have you ever checked the labels on your groceries recently? You may be getting less than you thought. For example, some companies would use the same size cereal boxes, but put less cereal into the box. Might have a nice promising box, like this one, for instance, porridge oats, you know, it looks nice and big on the shelf, pictures, attractive box. There's definitely some space left inside there, so we're not quite sure how much we've got. It says it's a kilogram somewhere, and I think standards would be upset if there wasn't a kilogram. But you don't know what it looks like, you don't know what it feels like. It could be rough grain. But when you open it up, it's important to see what's on the inside. And sometimes I buy these kind of bags. So you can see through the plastic into the inside, and you can see the shape of the oats that you're getting, and you can see how much is in there. And it feels maybe not quite so flashy, maybe not quite so posh and expensive. Probably this one was more expensive. But actually, it has substance to it. It's got real substance inside there. And you can see right through this bag to what's on the inside. And it's what's on the inside that matters. That's what we're going to eat. So that's what matters. And that's what Jesus is talking about. Don't know if that will stay up there. No, probably not. But you know what I mean. That one will, because it looks very good. A true Christian is not one that is fancy and bright and coloured outside. A true Christian is one that has the substance inside. A true Christian that is loyal to God from the inside, from the heart. Instead of what a great looking box, people will say, what great tasting cereal. It's not about those outward things of where we look, such as ritual hand washing, church membership, or any other physical sign. Just bearing the name Christian or being a member of the Church of Christ is not enough. The loudest, most impressionable sermon that a person will ever hear is the one they don't hear, is the one they see, and they witness with their own actions, even when there's not a crowd there to applaud you. So in our reading from Deuteronomy, we heard how Moses instructed the Hebrews that even if they walked away from God and ruined their lives, God is merciful and he would be ready to receive them back when they turned their hearts to God, back to God. He was saying that God will be ready. God still wants to forgive us today and give us that inward spiritual renewal. It's very strange how things happen during the week, but I don't know if anybody reads the UCB Bible notes. I've started reading those now, and I find them very helpful. And this week, just this week, what I realized I was talking about this, there was a word for today, as they call it. Godliness is an inside job. And in Samuel, they mention people look at the outward appearance. People do. But God looks at the heart. And that was today, this week's message. And I thought, that's what I'm talking to people about today. Actually, godly people is those whose heart is sensitive to the Lord. So God gave me that message again to remind me this week, before I spoke to you today. Isn't that just amazing? It happens. So the last question, what does God want us to do now? He wants us to take action to purify our hearts. And what does that mean for us? Well, John Wesley, our great founder of the Methodist Church, had quite a lot to say about purity of the heart and pure, heartfelt Christianity. His simple rule was, seek God's approval rather than being governed by our own senses and desires, and live by faith in Jesus. That is not a simple rule. It's not as simple as it sounds to do that. The first thing he suggested was that we needed humility. have an honest opinion of ourselves. Be aware that we are sinful people and aware that we cannot help ourselves. We can only become pure through the guidance of the Holy Spirit coming and living within us. Secondly, John Wesley said we need to have faith, trust in God, and believe that Jesus came to save us from sin. And this faith reveals that Jesus is in our hearts. I believe that strong faith can overcome worldliness and make our thoughts and our actions obedient to Jesus. Some of you will have seen that bracelet which says on it, WWJD. Anybody know that? What would Jesus do? When you're in a situation, think, what would Jesus do? And that is living a life of faith. Thirdly, he suggested we should live in hope, living with the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And that gives us a cheery confidence when things are perhaps not quite so good. It gives us an assurance that we are on the way to eternal life. And that is a great hope. John Wesley says that it's like an anchor, keeping the ship of our lives safe from the troubles and the despairs that we all experience in our lives. And fourthly, John Wesley says we need to love. To purify the heart perfectly, we need to love. It's the greatest commandment of all in the Bible, isn't it? As it says in one of my favorite passages in Philippians 4, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, and honorable, they are all summed up in the word love. So as John Wesley suggested, we need to sacrifice our hearts to God. Only one sacrifice, our whole heart. Continually offering to God through Jesus in flames of holy love. And the only way you and I can experience such renewal is by allowing the Redeemer to change us. We need inner transformation continually. And that can come only from the purifying presence of the Holy Spirit, which results in that desire within us to please and praise God. And the true believer is the one who has that inner relationship with God through Christ Jesus, Lord. So I want us to sing again about that wonderful love in number 443. He's waiting to give us his love and to forgive us and help us to live in the purity of his heart and love. Let's sing. Come, let us sing of a wonderful love. Our challenge for today. The challenge is to grow on the inside so it shows on the outside. To let those gifts flow like a river through us and out to the people that we meet, so that we practice what we preach and are not being half-hearted. Are you living what you say you believe when you're at work, when you're outside in the community, when you're at school maybe, when you're at home? For we need to make sure that our walking reflects our talking. A friend of ours called Gordon was in discussion with some church people in Alnwick, and he decided he needed to take the message outside of the church because the people were not coming in. They were not coming into the building. And so the idea that he came up with was to run a coffee wagon in the marketplace in Alnwick in an evening after the pubs had closed. Quite a challenge. And through this venture, the church people have been able to share the love of God with those people who are not so keen to come into the church. Quite a wonderful initiative. That's about living what we say we believe. Secondly, the challenge, it's a time to become completely committed, not half-hearted in what we are doing. Make sure that you, and myself included in this, make sure that we have a relationship. We're not just going through religious rituals week by week, not just going through the motions like those Pharisees in Mark. It's time to make sure that we have a true relationship with Jesus ourselves. And thirdly, the challenge this morning for you is that we need to grow on the inside so it shows on the outside. Most of us look pretty good on the outside. I would think we've all got our Sunday best on today. We look pretty good. But let's stop trying to make our product look pretty while our insides might be shriveling away from God. Let's, what's the inside, become visible on the outside. As it says in 2 Corinthians 4, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that his all-surpassing power comes from God, not from us. So you see, we are just clay pots, as it says in that quotation. We're designed to be filled up with Jesus and that all-surpassing power of God to flow through us, those vessels of clay, so that what's on the inside is visible on the outside. And when people look at our packaging, what do they see? How much of the product of God's kingdom is visible through us every day? That, my friends, is our challenge for today. And we're going to sing again, but this time I would like you to remain seated and sing the next hymn prayerfully. It's number 508, Purify My Heart. And now I want to give you a moment to write on those hearts which I gave you earlier. Before we come to God in our prayers, maybe there's something or somebody that is on your heart this morning and needs our prayers. If you want to bring it forward, we will do so in the middle of the prayers. But if you would just like to take it home, that's fine too. So have a think. Who's on your heart this morning? Pray together now, let's pray. Holy God, we come before you now with the needs of the church and the world close to our hearts. Father God, we are all too aware of our temptation to place our trust in rules and traditions, and we long for you to release us and give us the desire to serve you so that nothing, nothing is allowed to get in the way of that. Loving God, your love and grace to us are endless. And as we rise to the challenge of our calling as Christians, remind us of those things which communicate your love to the world. Today, Lord, open our eyes that we may see your image in everyone that we meet. Open our ears that we might hear your words in the words that others speak. Open our mouths that we may speak your gracious word of love to those whose paths we cross. Open our hearts, our minds, and our whole beings, that we may be filled with your Spirit, and so serve you more truly in this your world. Father, we stand alongside all who are hurting in body, mind, or spirit. All who need courage, support, or practical help. Make us willing to become part of your answer to our prayers for them. We pray especially for those people who are in war zones across the world and suffering hardship. We think particularly this morning of people in Kashmir, Hong Kong, and El Paso after that terrible shooting. And we pray also for those people who are on our hearts, especially at this time, our loved ones and those whom we know. We pray especially for Grace and Albie and their wedding next weekend. And now I would ask those who can to bring the hearts that you've written on and place them at the cross of Jesus, where God's love meets us in the world and continues to meet us daily. If you prefer, you can take them home to remind you in your prayers this week. Does anyone want to bring them forward? Actually, the cross is over there. I'm just going to move the cross. Can I get the cross? I feel that's quite important to this event. What we're going to do is put the cross on the table and think of the love of Jesus as we put our prayers in front of the cross. Thank you. Actually, I can walk round as well if anybody wants to. Give me the pencils later, I'll sort that out. Thank you. Anybody else here? Thank you. God bless. God bless, thank you. Thank you. God bless you. There you go. God bless. Here we are. Anyone over there? Right. So these are our prayers, our heartfelt prayers, and we put them before the cross of Jesus this morning. Bless you. Any more? We all put our prayers to Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Okay? And so now, Lord, we pray. We pray for your healing power. For our loved ones, for your comfort and your strength. Surround those of us and those we know who are in need today with your loving arms and keep them safe in your love. And so fill us, Lord, with a love that is unconditional. And help us to make a wholehearted commitment to you and to your church, not just for today, but for all the remaining days of our lives. through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now, as part of our response, let's say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. And so in our closing hymn this morning, we rejoice knowing that God's love is in our hearts. And as we go out into the world, we go out to serve him in everything we do. Number 410, Lord, your church on earth. Loving God, as we go out into your world, let us remember that it is your world, and help us to show your love to those people that we meet. Guide our thoughts in faith and change our ways in hope as we live and work in your strength and power. And Father, write your law of love upon our hearts and send us out from here glowing with thankfulness throughout the week ahead. And so may the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, my friends, forevermore. Amen.